And now, Don Blackwell.
In last week's program, we began a lesson entitled The Seven Horrors of Hell. And we talked about the first three in that program. The first horror of hell that we discussed was that of darkness. The Bible, on numerous occasions, refers to hell as a place of outer darkness. Secondly, we talked about the word fire, that the occupants of hell will burn eternally in fire. The third thing that we discussed as one of the horrors of hell are the things that will not be there. There will be no mercy. There will be no hope in hell. Number four today, we want to continue our study with the word memory. Friends, one of the horrors of hell is going to be memory. Again, we make reference back to Luke 16, as we discussed in our previous program. Here is the rich man. He makes his plea to Abraham for some sort of relief. And Abraham responds, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented." But what's interesting is he uses the word remember. Remember in your lifetime. What kind of things did he remember? In fact, there's a better way to ask this question, because we need to get a grip on the fact that the rich man who's talked about in Luke 16, who is in torment, is still there today. He is there right now. It isn't as if this occurred back when Jesus was walking the earth and now he's free, that he has now ceased to suffer. He is still there now. And so a better way to ask this question is, what kind of things does he remember today? I suspect he remembers his physical prosperity. After all, the Bible says he was a rich man. I suspect that he remembers his selfishness. I suspect he remembers the people around him that he could have blessed with his prosperity, but he chose not to. I suspect he remembers the knowledge that he had at the time about how to obey God, but he was too busy. There were too many other things important to him in this world. I suspect he remembers people who were righteous, who from time to time would encourage him and try to get him to get his life right, and how that angered him, how he felt about them. I suspect he remembers, in fact, I know he remembers his brothers. As he talked to Abraham, he said, "Please send Lazarus to my brothers. I don't want to happen to them what has happened to me." Friends, that's why I have often said, if living men knew what dead men know, the whole world would be Christians. Is there going to be memory in hell? Yes, there is. The next horror of hell that I want for us to discuss is the repulsive population of hell. This is number five. You've got to understand that not everyone in hell will be repulsive, because not everyone in hell is what we would describe as being wicked. Think about this. There are people who will be there who typically we would not call wicked people. Romans 3 and 23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so there's going to be those in hell who are good moral people, but who simply never made the decision to obey the gospel and to become New Testament Christians, to choose to serve Jesus Christ. They were good neighbors, they were good civic workers, but they weren't Christians. They weren't in Christ. And they'll be in torment. If people could have been saved just by being good moral people, then friends, the cross of Jesus Christ was a huge mistake. The fact is, that wasn't enough. Being good moral people is not enough. That's why Jesus had to die. And only people who make contact with his blood by obeying the gospel will not be there. And there will be religious people there. Jesus said that's going to be the case. Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." And so there are many people today who are choosing the religions of men rather than the church of the New Testament because they like it better. They're going to be there. There will be people who had good intentions about one day obeying the gospel, people who had heard the gospel and know the truth and plan one day to obey it. Acts 24 and 35, Felix said to Paul, "Go thy way for now when I have a convenient season." Friends, a lot of people have that attitude, but a lot of people never have that convenient season. Not all of the people in hell are going to be what you and I would call wicked people, but the wicked people are going to be there. One time a teenager who was in her late teens, about to leave her teenage years, was still living at home with her parents, but she was quite rebellious. Her parents were faithful Christians, but she wasn't interested in obeying the gospel. She wasn't interested in those type things. She saw hypocrites in the church sometimes, and that just wasn't her thing. She said, "I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to discuss it anymore." Her family happened to live close to the church building. One night, as they were walking to the assembly, they were passed by a car that drove by them very slowly. It was a junky heap of a car, and the windows were rolled down. It was full of men who were drunken, and they saw this girl, and they made obscene gestures toward her. They shouted obscenities as they went by. She didn't even know them. When they were out of sight, she was disgusted by it. She thought it was repulsive. She loathed it. And she expressed to her parents how much she loathed people who were like that, who acted like that. Her father, who was a wise Christian man, said, "Honey, if you don't get your life right with the Lord, you will spend eternity with them." Who's going to be there? The Jezebels and the Ahabs, they will be there. The Ananias and Sapphiras, they will be there. The Diotrephes, the Neros, the Hitlers, the murderers and the rapists and all liars, they're going to be there. And so we must include in the horrors of hell the list of its repulsive population. Number six, as we consider the horrors of hell, I want you to think about the word eternity. You know, eternity is not a bad concept by itself. In fact, it can be a wonderful concept, but not in the context that we're discussing it right now. In 2 Thessalonians 1 and 7, the Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels." But listen to verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power." Sometimes uncomfortable things happen to us in life, and we ask, how long is it going to take? Because we're looking forward to the end. Sometimes students will think to themselves, only 4 more years in school and I will be done. A man in prison may count down the days on his calendar and think, only 20 more years and I will be free. But friends, eternity has no ending. I know you cannot comprehend it. None of us can. We've never experienced this. Everything we know in life has a beginning and it has an end. But think of it. To be in torment today and tomorrow and days without end. Torment forever and ever. Number seven. The last horror of hell that we want to mention on the program is the fact that you will not be alone. You might ask, how can this be one of the horrors of hell? Can you say that to be with company would be a bad thing? We've all heard the old saying that misery loves company. It sounds like it would be good to have others there with us. But friend, can you imagine what it would be like to be in hell and have people around you and hear the screams behind you and realize that it's someone over whom you had influence? That's my child. That's my son. I raised him to adulthood, but I raised him to believe that the things of this world were more important than the afterlife, that material things were more important than spiritual things. Can you imagine what it would be like not to be alone and to know that during your life you used your time and your resources to bring your loved ones to this place instead of heaven? Friends, how far away is the judgment? It is just one heartbeat. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment." Are you prepared? Are you ready to meet the Lord in judgment? The Bible teaches that in order to be saved, in order to be prepared, that a man must hear the gospel, Romans 10 and 14. Sometimes people will say, if a man has never heard the gospel, will the Lord condemn him in ignorance? Surely a man won't be lost in ignorance because he hasn't heard the gospel. Friends, you know, we could answer that on an emotional basis, or we could go to the Bible for the answer. Acts 17 and 30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, that says ignorance will not be overlooked, but he commands all men everywhere to repent. And so if a man does not hear the gospel, he cannot be saved eternally. But upon hearing it, he must respond by believing it. In Mark 16 and 16, Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. John 8 and 24, Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. A man must hear it, he must believe it, he must then repent of his sins. Luke 13 and 3, Jesus said, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Acts 2 and 38, Peter told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Then I must confess my faith in Christ, as did the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8 and 37. He said it ever so beautifully, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 and 10 tells us, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew 10 and 32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. And then a man must be baptized in water for the remission of sins. In Acts 22 and 16, Ananias asks Saul the question, and what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 3, 20 and 21 tells us, the like figure whereunto baptism does now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Once a man has done those things, the Lord will add him to his church, Acts 2 and 47. But then it is still required of me that I live faithfully until death. Revelation 2 and 10 says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give unto thee a crown of life.